Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Rambles. It's Anita. Thank you. And yes, I'm actually going to do two episodes this month and not try to cram them in on the last week of the month. So sorry about June, but this month is better. I'm not sure how many of my listeners are music fans, like not just, and I shouldn't say music fans, but actually like the law part of it. So I did touch on my 100th episode, how I went to school for radio and television, and I'm still a music law nerd. And what happened with Taylor Swift and her old record label, it brought out the music nerd in me. So I didn't even find out about it until a few days ago, actually, because the sale took place on June 30th. So it's a lot of stuff, and as you can see, a lot of tags. But basically, Taylor Swift, for most of her career, was on Big Machine Records. And then Big Machine Records got sold to Scooter Braun. And yes, there's a reason this is a two-part episode. It's, this episode is on this, and then the second episode, which I actually wrote first, is about how people complain about, sorry, there was a fan in the background, and I turned it off, but how people complain about music's not the same as when they were kids, and I'm like, of course not, you're not buying music like younger people. And it made a lot of people mad when I said that to them. So that's going to be the next episode, but this one is about something that was in the news, because every now and then I do stuff about the news. So going back to it, so Taylor Swift's record label was sold to Scooter Braun's Ithaca Holdings for $300 million. And she got mad about it because that sale also included her masters for her first, for all of her albums except for the one this year. And that's a very important thing because masters are the original recordings and labels can use those to basically mint money for a good 35 years. And the reason I say a good 35 years is because of the copyright law that was created in 1978, but it was not enforced until it was copyright law of 76. But some I've heard 78, but it wasn't enforced until 78. And that was because the first time I heard about this law, the person said the copyright law of 90s, it was a music lawyer last year during Black Music Month, and they mentioned the copyright law of 1978. Big year of music. Michael Jackson released his first album for Epic, and Prince released his first one. But anyway, enough about that. But I will get back to Prince later. So with that law is stated in a nutshell, you cannot, after 35 years, you can petition your label and publishing for everything because it's like, okay, you were young and stupid when you signed your label. After 35 years, you should know better. So, you know, this is your chance to redeem yourself. So Taylor Swift was 14 when that contract was signed. I'm still like, why didn't her dad hire a music lawyer? Because at the time, I mean, and even CNN and Variety and regular people, they agree. She pretty much made Big Machine Records. She was their biggest artist. I mean, she's one of the biggest artists in the world now. But back then she was 14 years old and her dad, you know, she came for money. So why not just put out the $300 to $1,000 for a good music law, because this is nothing new, and that's why it's business. The operative word is business. Her dad was a businessman. This was after the whole thing, going back to Prince, how Prince got mad about his masters with Warner Brothers in the 90s, and even wrote slave on his face because he was a slave to them. Because, and I know I'm using the phrase because I'm not a lot. And at least I'm not using like a lot. And also saying a lot. But anyway, so he wrote slave because they are his masters because they own his master. So they could control it. And in her case, almost 10 years after that debacle, her dad then, and I know it's wrong to say, but let's face it, you're letting your 14-year-old son to a no-name label. Like, okay, I've started using like, she had the negotiating power. I mean, the founder of it saw her in like a coffee house and was like, I want to sign you. He didn't even have the money for it. Her dad, and he was a music person, but you know, it's expensive starting a label. And her dad does own part of Big Machine, like 3%. And this was according to an October 2000 issue of Rolling Stone magazine. And he's now the CEO after the sale, Scott Brochetta. Yeah, he did have some recording experience because of his dad was in the business. He was in the business. And, yeah. But this was after so many artists got taken advantage of that I'm still like, why did this happen? And even on her letter she wrote to prevent young, a lot of artists in the 90s were saying the same thing. In early aughts, you fell, you drunk the Kool-Aid. They told you, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Your parents gave it to you because, again, 14 years old. And contracts, you really do need a good music law and lawyer. And I know nobody likes lawyers for anything. Every now and then, but I said that some people will have really good lawyers. Like, I've had friends who had great lawyers. And I've met some great lawyers. I mean, when my mom died, I had a wonderful lawyer help me through that stuff. But, yeah, she needed a good lawyer to fix that and at least give her a loophole so when she got older, she could get out. And even the contract, Big Machine Records tried to give her when she went, when she became the Taylor Swift we know today, because I don't know how many people, you know, love her because she can be a polarizing figure. I'm not sure she's like, I don't know what I'm going to lie, at the Beyonce level of polarizing, but she has some polarizing moments. A Variety article mentioned how Big Machine wanted her back, but the contract they wanted to give her was almost like a hamster wheel because it's like, okay, you wouldn't like the album coming out this year. Had she stayed with them, they would have been like, okay, you can release this album. We'll keep these masters. We'll give you the masters to your debut. So she would have continued to have to release and never really got out. Or they would have had tried to give her more albums, but she wanted to go. And it's actually sort of interesting because now that Big Machine Records is a big machine, ba-dum-bum, they're distributed by the parent company of her new label. Like, they're distributed by Universal Music Group, which I've read is worth $33 billion. And Taylor has a pretty hefty couple hundred million net worth herself. And also, how did nobody not know about this sale? Because, again, according to Scott Brochetta in the October 2012 Rolling Stone, her dad owned 3% of the company. He didn't know that the company was, how are you a stockholder and you don't know the company's being sold? Somebody please explain that to me. Good point. And even with Billboard, you know, she became a Billboard darling. And that revenue is very important. According to CNN, which is where they gave me the date of the cop of 76 for the original name of it, she's actually sort of lucky with this, the way this went down. And I know some people are like, how can she be lucky? She can't even get her debut album's copyright, like, petition for, like, 20 more years. Well, two words, the Beatles. Because most of the Beatles stuff wasn't was made before 1976, Paul McCartney can't petition and Yoko Ono, because they were like the primary writers of most of the Beatles stuff, they can't petition until 2025. The Beatles broke up in 1970. So they, 55 or 35. Yeah. And that's a lot of money involved, because, again, with the master, you have the masters, you can, you're basically printing money. Because, okay, somebody wants to use this vocal performance for, I don't know, a blinders commercial in Nicaragua. I'm just throwing something out. Or maybe I should just use Nebraska, because I don't know how international copyright. I don't know a lot about domestic. And then if you go into international, that's a whole other thing. Which, again, get a good music law. And also get one who specializes in both domestic and foreign, because the foreign one, SJZ and Universal, that was a very interesting story. But another topic, another day, and no, it's not going to be in part two. Or maybe it will, I don't know. But you have to make sure it's right. And going back to the whole Nebraska thing. So, a blinder company in Nebraska wants to use her voice. Okay. She can give them the recordings. Somebody wants to print up a copy. Or, you know, all those greatest hits that everybody sees. They took the masters, plopped it down. And I know not a lot of people buy records, but it also affects, you guessed it, streaming. Because whoever owns the masters gets paid from streaming first. For example, going back to Billboard. In the Billboard April 27th, 2018 issue, my favorite recording, sorry for the baby crying in the background. It's not my baby. At a friend's house. But that article said my favorite label, Sony. I love the artist on Sony. Sorry. Michael Jackson was on Sony. He was on Epic for years. They made $7 billion. And that was through streaming and even record sales. I mean, yeah, record sales are going down, but if you're still getting part of streaming, which isn't that much compared to when, you know, records were selling like the NSYNC years. Yeah, I'm that old to remember when No Strings Attached sold over 1 million copies in a week. We're not going to see something like that again. And that was legal copies in Billboard. Mention those sales. Well, I'll take that back. Adele can still sell like that, but it's more of an anomaly now than the boy band, the bubblegum pop of the late 90s. I think Adele, and maybe even, I don't even think Beyonce sold 1 million copies in a week, like in the last few years. But anyway, so if it's streamed, they get their cut, and then everybody else. So it's important to have them. And her deal was horrible, but a lot of people's deals were like that. Very few artists have their masters. I mean, Ray Charles managed to get his masters. Sam Cooke. I cannot believe I mixed up Cooke and Smith. Two totally different artists. But she's lost out on those until 35 years for each of them. So the debut, I don't even remember when her debut album came. I think it came in like 2006, 2008. So 2043, she can petition for that album, and then so on and so forth. And she'll finally get 2017's album in 2050. But again, it's a business, not just music. It is called music business. And every artist who has had bad contracts has said that. Anyway, I'm Anita. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.